There comes a time when you have to decide, how am I going to vote? Well, here's an easy way to get things started. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org. No matter what your party affiliation, take a look at the Clark County Republicans. Easy to do, too. Just go to ClarkCountyRepublicans.org to see what they're up to of late and find out how easy it is to register for local, state, and federal elections at ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into Real Water. To learn more, just go to my website, kevinwallradio.com. That's kevinwallradio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Gather around
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media.
Listen
up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We are your radio program of record all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, in the Coachella Valley, Indian Wells, Palm Springs, Palm Desert. We got it covered for you, folks. Great to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. An old friend who has talked about running for office for quite some time. He is a former candidate for Congress. He is a guy that we first met when he was president of NPRI. So we almost had an alumni meeting. This was great. If we could have gotten Victor Jakes in, we could have had like the whole thing covered. Andy Matthews joins us. And I know you and I have talked off air. We've talked on air, I think, a couple of times about you've been looking at maybe running for office, maybe running for assembly or state senate or maybe another congressional race. You have decided what you're going to do. What are you going to do? And this, by the way, your first radio interview. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, well, first of all, Kevin, thanks for having me on. Good to see you as always. And yeah, I'm thrilled to be on with you this morning and share with you and your listeners that I am running for the Nevada State Assembly, District 37, crucial seat for our party to win back in these coming elections. And I think it's a great opportunity. And, you know, with the current balance of power in Carson City, what we saw in the last legislative session, what I believe is on the line and at stake in terms of the future of our state, I think this is going to be one of the very most important, if not the most important, elections that Nevadans are going to be facing in this coming election cycle. So excited to be doing it. Glad to be on here with you today and sharing the news.
District 37, for those that don't know, is the old Jim Marchant district. Give us the geography, because a lot of folks around the state may not know where 37 is.
Sure. This is northwest Las Vegas. It's within the city limits. It comprises a number of neighborhoods, including Sun City, Summerlin, which is sort of one of the population hubs of that district. And then it extends north and east from there, some other neighborhoods sort of going up to U.S. 95. And you know how the lines are always kind of drawn in a sort of a zigzag way there. And it's been a district that has been very strong for our party over the years. You know, Republicans have won this seat consistently, usually pretty comfortably. And we lost it this past November by just over 100 votes. And I think it was, you know, a matter of it just being a historically bad year for our party. I think it's a seat that got caught up in the blue wave that everybody was talking about. And I think it's a seat that sort of caught us by surprise a little bit. That's the bad news. The good news is I think it's a great opportunity for us to win this seat back, restore some balance in Carson City, which, boy, talk about something that we really need in our state capital today.
I know that when we began the 80th Nevada legislature, none of us knew how good or how bad it was going to be. We all suspected, you know, you got a new governor, Governor Sisolak. You've got an assembly and a state senate that were solidly blue. And we don't know how bad this can really be. You had a chance to watch this thing. How bad was it? Could it have been worse?
It was really bad. I think it could have been worse, and I think it will be worse in the next legislative session if we don't make some serious changes to leadership in Carson City. You know, we saw what the Democratic majority did, and we'll have lots of time to document that going down the road here. They raised our taxes unconstitutionally, I believe. They curbed Second Amendment rights. They extended collective bargaining rights to state employees, which is going to be enormously expensive. They tried, fortunately failed, but they tried to turn Nevada into a sanctuary state. Legislative Democrats pushed this scheme to do this end run around the Electoral College and basically give away the voice of Nevadans in presidential elections. All of that, you know, we're going to talk about, and I think that's why there's a good opportunity for us to win this seat back. But, you know, before we get there, you know, I think it's important to have another discussion, which is, you know, what is the Republican Party going to stand for? And I think, you know, before we can talk about winning general elections, I think we need to talk about the matter before us, which is making sure that we are nominating and supporting good, principled, proven conservatives to carry the banner for our party. And that's why I think, you know, my effort is already gaining a lot of support, a lot of momentum, because people know that, you know, it's not enough just to elect Republicans. We want to elect Republicans, but we need to elect those who are conservative, who have a record to stand on, and the voters know they can trust to keep their word in Carson City.
Let me ask you, because this is the question that I find that everybody seems to be asking the candidates, regardless of whether it's for dog catcher or a state senator or assemblyman or even a CD race. Do you embrace President Trump and the America First policy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, look, we need to win, you know, the White House. People and keep the White House. People should make no mistake about, you know, the stakes, not just in our state elections, but at the national level as well. And we need to win up and down the ballot. And that starts with making sure that we reelect President Trump. You know, I look back at 2016 and sort of the recent history of our party. And, you know, I think one of the things that did so much damage to us in these last two election cycles was the fact that we had a fractured party. You had leading prominent Republicans in high office in this state who in 2016, at the 11th hour, as we know, came out and you know, repudiated the president and distanced themselves from them when the stakes were so high looking into that presidential election. And I think that the consequences of that are crystal clear and very, very painful. Now, there were some who didn't do that. And of course, you know, I was one, and Adam Laxalt, a good friend of mine, was another. And you had some Republicans who I think understood the consequences there and didn't come out and start, you know, publicly slamming the president. That made a big, big difference for our party. And I think it's going to be so important that we not make those same mistakes. And I think it's going to be important that we do have a unified party heading into 2020. And that starts first and foremost with making it clear that, yes, we support President Trump's reelection.
Again, Andy Matthews joining us. He is running for assembly in District 37. It is the old Jim Marchant, Sun City, Summerlin area. And it is an area where Republicans have run very strong there. Jim lost by I think, less than 100 votes. It was just a tough, tough loss. The other thing I want to ask you, though, one of the things that I think has had a detrimental effect on Republicans is the fact that you had name brand Republicans who supported the largest tax increase in the history of our state. And voters, they've got a long memory. Did we as a party make a mistake? We had a Republican governor, we had both houses, and yet we voted in the largest tax. I mean, Democrats could have done that.
Yeah, you know,
and it was Republicans that led the way.
Yeah, and in their wildest dreams, Democrats may have struggled to see a way where they would actually get that done. And look, it's so important to make it clear where we stand. And if you go to my website, which is andyfornevada.com, all spelled out, Andy, F-O-R, Nevada.com, you can see where I stand on the issues. And I think what's going to make me stand out in this race is that, you know, every Republican who runs for office learns to talk like a conservative, you know, during a primary. Everyone finds a way to sort of channel their inner Ronald Reagan. You know, the difference is I've got a record of having done it, you know, for more than a decade in this state. You mentioned that I served as president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute, probably the leading conservative organization in this state, fighting for low taxes, fighting to roll back job-killing regulations, fighting for education reform to give parents more choice in how and where their kids are educated, fighting for more transparency and accountability in government. So important that we, like I said at the outset here, not just nominate Republicans and elect Republicans, but make sure that we're supporting candidates with a track record of actually fighting for conservative values and conservative principles. And I think, you know, without question in this race, you know, I'm going to be the candidate with that record to stand on. And that's why, as we shared this morning, I'm so proud and honored to have so much support for my candidacy, public support from conservative leaders here in our state, people like Adam Laxalt, our former attorney general, people like former Governor Robert List, Stavros Anthony, the city councilman, Victoria Seaman, Bob Beers, Lorraine Hunt Bono, on and on and on. People who understand the stakes for Nevada going forward, but also understand and know my commitment to principle, understanding that, you know, I'm not someone where you have to wonder where I stand on the issues and where you have any reason to question my commitment to the principles that I talk about. I've done it. You know, I have a proven track record. I'm very proud of that. And I think that's something that's going to resonate extremely well with voters in this race.
We're going to talk about the path to victory. It's one thing to announce that you are a candidate for the assembly in District 37. It's another one to have a plan, a battle plan, and a path to victory. We'll talk about what that path to victory is. Well, let's talk more about these endorsements. I mean, this is like front-loading endorsements. I mean, these are name-brand conservative folks that we're talking about. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by committee to elect Sam Peters.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
At its heart, free markets are about opportunity. I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. Advancing freedom, empowering individuals with opportunity, well, that's at the core of Nevada Policy's mission. It's the reason our organization exists. We believe individuals who work hard, take risks, and are dedicated to building a future for their family, they deserve the opportunity to pursue their dreams without politicians and government getting in the way. And you know what? We're not alone. Nevadans from all walks of life partner with us to promote the kind of free market solutions that maximize opportunities for individuals. Together, we work to preserve and expand the kind of freedom that has made Nevada such an amazing place to live. Now, more than ever, we're taking this message to a more diverse audience, letting more Nevadans than ever before know exactly how we're working to keep this state free and prosperous for them. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more and to support our important work today. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update is brought to you by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into real water. To learn more, just go to my website, KevinWallRadio.com. That's KevinWallRadio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Always good to have Andy Matthews in studio. He is running for assembly in District 37. I always love these assembly races because it is a small sample size, but it gives you an indication of what people are thinking. Tell me what the path to victory is. And is it 1,500 votes, 1,700, 1,800 votes? What kind of numbers do you have to win an assembly district like that?
Yeah, you know, and everybody talks about people who follow this stuff that, you know, turnout in primaries, especially in assemblies, tend to be relatively low numbers. And in the range you're talking about, we're going to certainly shoot much higher. And that's for a couple of reasons. You know, number one, I think it's going to be important to make sure that we win this primary and win it in very strong fashion. I think we're going to take nothing for granted and make sure that we're getting as many of my supporters to the polls as possible. But I also think that's going to be very important looking ahead to November. I think having good Republican turnout in the primaries this year is going to be crucial in terms of getting that early engagement, getting that enthusiasm, making sure that, you know, we're ready to secure wins up and down the ballot in November. So we're going to shoot much higher in terms of primary turnout than I think what you typically see. And in terms of the path to victory, you know, beyond that, obviously, you know, getting your supporters to the polls is always going to be number one. But the question is, how do you do that? And we'll be doing that in a number of different ways. You know, one is, of course, we're going to be knocking on a lot of doors, you know, making sure that we're connecting with voters directly. Certainly, we're going to work hard to bring in the resources that we need, and people who are interested in supporting me can do so through my website, which, like I said, is andyfornevada.com. But I also think it's going to be a matter of communicating our message to every corner of this district and making sure that people, the voters of District 37, you know where I stand, know my record, know where I am on the issues, and understand what I think is going to be a very clear contrast between myself and others who are going to be running for this nomination. And just to go back to what I said a few moments ago, I think that it's important to nominate and support Republicans, but I think we need those who, you know, really have the commitment and the spine to go to Carson City and fight for our conservative principles. And I think our job as a campaign is going to make sure that voters in this district know that I'm the one to do that.
In order to win, whether it's an assembly race, whether it's a CD race, you got to be able to raise money. You've got a fundraiser coming up in October. And boy, I'm just looking at the invitation. Crescent Hardy, Mark Hutchison, Robert List, Stavros Anthony. I mean, on and on. I mean, this is like a who's who of politics, especially Republican conservative politics in our state. Can you talk a little bit about how difficult an environment it's going to be in a presidential election year to raise money and events like this?
Well, it's always an uphill fight to raise money. A lot of people, you know, especially on the conservative side of things, the Republican side of things, you know, a lot of people, you know, the Democrats sort of have the advantage of having a built-in permanent political machine that funds a lot of their efforts. And, you know, and those of us on the conservative side, you know, we tend to be off living our lives. And a lot of times we want the political world to leave us alone. The reality is that the stakes are very high. And if we don't get engaged, we are going to lose our liberties. We are going to lose the things about our state that we really hold dear and the things that we cherish. And so that does start with financial support for good candidates that are going to be able to go and fight for conservative principles. And I've been so overwhelmed, really, Kevin, at the outset here by the support that's come in, really from all corners of our state. You know, I've brought in contributions, a lot of them, of course, from right here in Las Vegas. But, you know, there are good principled conservatives all corners of Nevada who are signing on to support my effort because they understand, you know, the stakes for our state. And also they recognize the importance of this particular district, that this is, I believe, the most important legislative race that we're looking at least in the assembly in this next cycle, in terms of, you know, giving conservatives a voice in Carson City. You know, I'll go, you know, back to something I touched on earlier. You know, we're not just in a position of weakness in Carson City as a party. We're in the assembly, at least, a super minority. And what that means is, you know, good conservatives, people like you, people like me, a lot of your listeners, we don't even have a seat at the table. You know, we don't even have a voice in the direction of overstate policy. And Democrats in the assembly can literally do whatever they want. And we saw in this past legislative session what that looks like. And it's not pretty. And so to at least be able to come to the table as a party and have some say in the direction of policy in our state, you know, we're going to need to win some of these tight races back. And I believe it starts with Assembly 37.
You've got a fundraiser coming up, what, October 23rd?
October 23rd, and Sue Loudon, my good friend, who's supporting me and endorsing me, it's going to be at a place she owns, Santa Fe Mining Company, and we're going to have a great turnout. We've got some really top-notch leading conservatives in our state who are going to be hosting that event. Adam Laxalt, of course, one of them, but you mentioned, you know, Robert List and Lorraine Hunt Bono and Bob Beers and, you know, Victoria Seaman, Star Rose Anthony, and lots of others. And I'm just so honored and grateful to have the support from our party's conservative leaders. And I think it goes back to the fact that, like I said, in 2016, 2018, we were not united as a party. We were very fractured, and that cost us. And it's great to see early on in my campaign here that our conservative leadership is really uniting, rallying around my effort, sending a very, very powerful message that they believe that I'm the one with the record and the principles to go win this seat back and bring in this new generation of leadership in Carson City.
It's day one of the campaign. If folks want to reach out to you again, one more time on the address.
AndyForNevada.com is the website. F-O-R spelled out. Andy, A-N-D-Y, F-O-R. I'm not going to spell Nevada for you. I know they know better. AndyForNevada.com. Also on Twitter, I'm at AndyMatthewsNV, at AndyMatthewsNV, and then Facebook at AndyForNevada. You can go on, volunteer, donate, learn more about my effort.
Always good to see you, my friend. Good luck. Safe travels. I know you're going to be doing a lot of door knocking, a lot of reaching out to voters. That is very cool. Stick around. Our wall-to-wall free-for-all coming up in just a matter of moments. As we continue, it is live and local now. All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. This just in, Joe Biden is calling on Congress to impeach President Trump if he doesn't comply with inquiries on Ukraine. That's according to the candidate's campaign. He plans to call on Congress to begin impeachment proceedings against the president if he does not comply with all of the Congress's requests for information about a July call he made to Ukraine's president. Here's the problem. Joe Biden has gotten off scot-free. And I believe people have protected him, if you will. For instance, let's go to cut four. By the way, our wall-to-wall free-for-all underway. That's where you call in. You tell me what it is that interests you. Normally, we restrict you to the news of the day and stuff we've been talking about. But it's different in this final half hour. You want to join us? Here's the number, 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. But I want you to hear Judge Andrew Napolitano. And again, I don't always agree with him. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm not sure about the. This is an opinion based on no information. We don't know what's in the transcript of that call. We don't know. But I want you to hear Judge Andrew Napolitano. He was on with David Asman. And this, they were talking about the Ukraine phone call. In the words of Andrew Napolitano, it could cost both Trump and Biden the presidency. Listen to this.
I think this is the most serious charge against the president, far more serious than what Bob Mueller dug or dragged up against him. If there was a quid pro quo, it does appear as though $250 million in defensive weaponry was held back for a period of time while these eight conversations were going on between the president.
Even though there was nothing said, according to the Wall Street Journal, that was quoting a couple of sources they have that were apparently privy to this phone conversation, they said there was no specific quid pro quo.
So mentioned. If you are the president of the United States and you are making a conversation that you know your intelligence community is listening to, of course you're not going to articulate a quid pro quo. You'll just make the quid pro quo happen.
But if you were a vice president of the United States and you were visiting with the president of Ukraine and you say, look, this prosecutor is going after a number of companies, and you don't tell them, by the way, that one of those companies happens to have your son on it as a board member, and then say, you got to get rid of this prosecutor. Less than 24 hours later, the prosecutor's gone. The investigation of the company to which Biden's son is on the board, that goes away. That sounds like a direct quid pro quo.
So this is probably the end of Joe Biden's presidency, and it ought to be the end of his dream for the presidency. But it doesn't diminish one iota what the current president is doing, which is an act of, if true, we haven't seen the whistleblower complaint, and under the law it has to be revealed. If true, this is an act of corruption.
But I don't want to bury the lead here. You just said this means the end of Joe Biden's.
I don't know how we can survive
presidential
this. Those tapes of him, which I hadn't seen before. You and I watch this stuff for a living. He was boasting about his ability to get rid of that prosecutor. Yes. I don't know how he survives it.
Now there is breaking news. If your phone is blowing up, like my smartphone is blowing up, the president now says he will release the transcript of said call with the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky. Yeah. Joe Biden had come out and said that the president needs to be impeached if he doesn't comply. Well, he is going to release the transcript of said call. Is that enough for everybody? But here's what I think it needs to happen also. I think the FBI or others, maybe congressional, we need an investigation of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. It's just incredible. This guy gets a pass, and the president we should impeach. Tell me if that makes sense. Chuck Schumer. Let's go to cut six. Cut Schumer is still waiting to hear from congressional Republicans. Listen to this. He went to the floor of the United States Senate yesterday. Here it is.
By law, a whistleblower complaint labeled in this way must be transmitted to Congress. Not shall be transmitted to Congress, must be. The Trump administration has not allowed that to happen. So far, in the face of this dire warning and the Trump administration's effort to cover it up, the Republican-led Senate has remained silent and submissive, shying away from this institution's constitutional duty to conduct oversight. That's an obligation we have. It's not a yes or no. That's our job. Republicans are in the majority in the Senate. With that majority comes the power to call hearings, issue subpoenas, and decide what legislation comes to the floor. The majority in the Senate, therefore, has an obligation to consider and act on the Senate's behalf, particularly when it comes to matters of oversight and matters of separation of powers. And yet, so far, we have no indication that Senate Republicans are planning to act. Most have yet to speak out. The Senate Republican see no evil, hear no evil attitude is unacceptable and must change. This, again, is an issue of solemn obligation. There is no wiggle room here. None. The obligation of the Inspector General is to turn over the information, the whistleblower information, now that he has found it credible and urgent. And here, typically, our Senate Republicans and the Senate leader sit supinely in obeisance to Donald Trump's reckless lawbreaking. This is a democracy. This is a democracy. And we've heard nothing from our Republican colleagues in what the president has done, abhorrent as that is, and in the stonewalling of information.
Okay, more from Chuck Schumer. This guy went on a rant yesterday. In fact, we'll get to it after the break. But you're not going to believe how bizarre Chuck Schumer was yesterday. And this was on the floor of the United States Senate. That's how bad it got yesterday. Where he literally calls out Republicans. Nowhere do I hear anybody that wants to get to the bottom of whether Hunter Biden or Joe Biden were involved in the firing of that prosecutor in Ukraine. I don't see anybody, short of Republicans, that are looking for answers to that question. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out, 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. You'll hear from Chuck Schumer. Also, one of the 17 presidential wannabes that traveled to Iowa yesterday, and all seemed to have the same kind of old, tired message. It begins with the word impeach. We'll get to that more coming up. Live and local now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. and regain control over healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
There comes a time when you have to decide, how am I going to vote? Well, here's an easy way to get things started. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org. No matter what your party affiliation, take a look at the Clark County Republicans. It's easy to do. Just go to ClarkCountyRepublicans.org to see what they're up to of late and find out how easy it is to register for local, state, and federal elections at ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by committee to elect Sam Peters.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It's Live and Local Now. Good to have you with us. Yeah. One of the things that always drives me nuts is when you see politicians talking out of both sides of their mouth. And in the case of Chuck Schumer, it's just, to me, it's incredible how he wants to bury the president, but yet when it comes to Joe Biden, we don't want to get to the bottom of any of this, do we? No, of course not. No, we want to impeach the president, but we don't want to ruffle any feathers with the former vice president. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere. In fact, it's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing cash giveaways and payouts. Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. Okay, I want you to hear from Chuck Schumer where he literally calls out his Republican colleagues and is issuing five demands. He sent a letter, I guess, to Mitch McConnell and had five demands of the Senate Majority Leader. This was Chuck Schumer yesterday on the floor of the United States Senate.
What's the president afraid of in this whistleblower report? We don't know. We can only speculate. But we do know there's an obligation for it to come to Congress. So today I've sent the Republican leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, a letter calling on him and the Republican chairs of the Senate relevant committees to fulfill their constitutional duties and immediately take the following actions. One, convene hearings to determine exactly what prompted the whistleblower to file this urgent complaint. At a minimum, these hearings should include testimony from the acting Director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire, acting Office of Management and Budget Director, Russell Vogt, Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and President Trump's private attorney, Rudy Giuliani, among others. Two, to issue a subpoena to compel the delivery of the whistleblower complaint to Congress, as required by law. Three, request the White House to release the transcript of President Trump's conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky, during which President Trump reportedly pressured the government of Ukraine to investigate Vice President Biden and his family. Four, identify the administration officials who directed the $341 million of security assistance to Ukraine be delayed, and request that all records relating to this decision be turned over to Congress. And five, insist that the Department of Justice provide any legal opinion or other guidance it has given regarding the administration's obligation to transmit the whistleblower complaint to Congress. It is the Senate's duty, to take this national security matter seriously and investigate now. Senate Republicans have the sole power and the overwhelming responsibility to see that it does. How long must we wait for our Republican colleagues to rise up to their responsibilities, to the Constitution, to separation of powers, and to rule of law, when President Trump brazenly violates that law? When are we going to hear the voices? It is unbelievable. As President Trump erodes the very fabric of this democracy, our Republican colleagues, I believe out of fear, do nothing.
That's Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, I'm going to tell you, has no power and is trying to have power. Now, for those of you that are waiting for the hourly news, the president says he is now going to release the transcript of that phone call with President Zelensky. Vladimir, I believe it is, Zelensky of Ukraine. And that's fine. That will answer a lot of questions, and it may silence the media for about a nanosecond, which is fine. But there are so many people. Well, for instance, listen to Mitch McConnell. Let's go to cut three. We'll see if we squeeze this in. Mitch McConnell went to the floor of the United States Senate yesterday, disappointed about how these intelligence committees are being politicized. And they are. They are being politicized. Here was Mitch McConnell, cut three, yesterday on the floor of the United States Senate.
The Senate Select Committee on Intelligence has long worked on a bipartisan basis in secure settings, out of the public spotlight, to conduct critically important oversight of classified and sensitive matters. So I've been disappointed to see our colleague, the Democratic leader, choose to politicize the committee's ongoing efforts with respect to a recent whistleblower allegation, the specific subject of which is still unknown. As my friend Senator Schumer is aware, Chairman Burr and Vice Chairman Warner have been working together to get the Acting Director of Intelligence and the Intelligence Community's Inspector General before the committee this week to discuss the matter. As with most matters before the committee, I believe it's extremely important that their work be handled in a secure setting with adequate protections in a bipartisan fashion and based on facts rather than leaks to the press. It is regrettable that House Intelligence Committee Chairman Schiff and Senator Schumer have chosen to politicize the issue, circumventing the established procedures and protocols that exist so the committees can pursue sensitive matters in the appropriate, deliberate, bipartisan manner.
Can I tell you something? I absolutely abhor what they have done to these intelligence committees. Adam Schiff on the House side has been a and Devin Nunes, to his credit, was political, but not a guy that was going to spoil the outcome. For instance, when they were studying Russian collusion, it turned out there was no Russian collusion. I mean, the Mueller report spelled that out. There was no Russian collusion. Now, did Russians try and impact our elections? Yes. Was the Trump campaign or Trump himself or Trump associates guilty of colluding with the Russians? The answer is no. It just drives me nuts. Tomorrow on the program. Yeah. Tomorrow on the program. I'm excited. There is another candidate who has entered the race in Congressional District 4. It is becoming a pretty crowded race. I mean, it's gotten to the point where there are going to be a lot of people. And again, filing for a lot of these races isn't until what? March or something like that? We're going to find out more about yet another candidate for CD4. We will do that tomorrow. Also, Chuck Muth will join us, the president of Citizen Outreach. I always love it when he's around. We have so much fun together. And he knows where all the bones are buried. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Till we join you tomorrow, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day, would you please? Live and local now. We can see. Why don't you tell your dreams to me?